Welcome, everyone. Governor Bush, Governor Fortuna have been kind enough to make themselves available to the press for about 20 minutes or so.
Whoa, 20 minutes.
Your call, sir. I do ask that you specify who the question is for. I'll call out last question when we're ready to wrap it up. I think that's it, so we'll turn it over.
No opening statement.
My first question is in Spanish, so I don't know.
Yeah.
¿Cómo siente usted esta reunión y cómo la sintió? ¿Qué es lo que necesitan hacer los republicanos para recapturar este voto hispano que está por ahí?
Yo primero.
El voto hispano no es puertorriqueño.
Bueno, el voto puertorriqueño es hispano.
¿Cómo lo ve usted?
O sea, yo creo que el esfuerzo, primero, de hacer esto no durante época de campaña es inteligente, porque normalmente líderes de ambos partidos, en realidad, empiezan a pensar de estas cosas. Uf, estamos en octubre, hay que hacer algo para la elección de noviembre. Este es el inicio del nuevo ciclo electoral y es un esfuerzo a largo plazo, así que es importante reconocer eso. Segundo, pues hay 600 personas aquí, un montón de prensa que muestra que pues es un tema de interés nacional, y creo que el hecho de que hay tantas personas aquí puede tener una influencia sobre la política estatal. La gente piensa que hay un partido republicano o un movimiento conservadora, y en realidad hay 50 estados con líderes individuales donde se pueden tener mucha influencia sobre el proceso de atraer al voto hispano durante elecciones. Así que hay tantas personas de tantas partes de los Estados Unidos que vienen a nuestro bello Miami, que creo que se va a tener mucho beneficio a largo plazo. Así que estoy feliz que el American Action Network haya hecho esto.
Yo quisiera primero reconocer el liderato del gobernador Jeb Bush y del secretario Carlos Gutiérrez y todos los que han, de una u otra forma, han participado en la organización de esta conferencia. Todo lo que he visto en la conferencia, realmente ha habido una discusión franca, abierta, muy sincera, de un sinnúmero de issues, no solamente el tema migratorio, también el tema de intercambio comercial y la importancia de ese intercambio comercial con el resto del continente, en el contexto de NAFTA y CAFTA y todos los demás. Me parece que también ha habido una discusión muy abierta sobre políticas económicas y fiscales en un momento en que ese es el tema que todo el mundo está sintiendo y que quiere que se solucione y se discuta. Y a la misma vez el hecho de, como acaba de decir el gobernador Bush, el hecho de que esto no sea un año de elecciones permite que esa discusión realmente sea una que tenga unas repercusiones mayores. Me parece que yo hablé del tenor of the public discourse, o sea, yo hablé de cómo se discute estos temas, especialmente el tema migratorio, es sumamente importante. Y aquí hemos visto un partido republicano, si lo podemos llamar de esa forma, que ha podido discutirlo con el nivel de civismo, de respeto y reconocimiento a la comunidad hispana, que yo creo que todos deberíamos emular y esperar. Así que en ese sentido, este es el tipo de conferencia que es sumamente necesaria, y el seguimiento que se le va a estar dando, porque puedo dar fe de que hay un deseo real de dar seguimiento a los diversos temas que se han estado discutiendo. Y al final del día, la grandeza de la democracia americana es que nadie vale más que nadie, que cada individuo vale lo mismo, un voto, y que tenemos 50 millones de hispanos, somos el grupo que más rápidamente estamos creciendo, y que se ha reconocido, no por el Partido Republicano, por ambos partidos, para poder exigir nuestro espacio en esa democracia.
Also,
the party's become known in the last few years as a very pro-enforcement party, that policy is also part of the barrier. Is it just tone, or is there a policy barrier as well?
Well, I mean, tone matters in politics a lot. If you send a signal, and let me be clear, I don't think officialdom in the Republican Party has a tone problem. It is our voices, not many of them, but loud voices that are picked up and magnified by our friends in the media that send that signal. So I think it's common. I mean, the more controversial you are today in America, the greater the likelihood your voice will be heard. It just seems that's the case. So I don't view the tone issue as being one that is something that can't be overcome. Maybe a restoration of civility across the board, all participants might help that out. But yeah, sure, I mean, issues matter. Absolutely they matter. And the policy issues that I think resonate amongst Hispanics, I think if you took a poll, I may be wrong, but if you took a poll, I think people, Hispanic voters, would have a very similar percentage of saying that the United States needs to control its borders, that we need to control illegal immigration. I have not met a Hispanic that thinks it's a really great idea to create a situation where illegal immigrants get into the country at the expense of people who abide by the law and wait in line. So I don't think there's an argument there. The argument goes maybe where there needs to be a dialogue is that it? Do we just control the border and leave that to be the end of the conversation about immigration? And my personal belief is a majority of conservatives want to see comprehensive reform after there's border security. And the other thing I'd say about addressing Hispanic concerns, there's a lot more to the concerns of people, including Hispanics, than just immigration. You know, I mean, people are anxious about the jobs they have or the jobs they don't have. They're anxious they may lose their jobs, or they're anxious that they can't find one. Hispanics, particularly the newly arrived, are aspirational in their nature. They want to be inspired to be better and to do better. They want policies to support that. They want quality education for their children. They want their voice to be heard. And so all of that, I think, is important for conservatives to be successful to address.
Governor Bush, Shannon Travis, CNN. Is this conference a sort of tacit admission that the Republican Party does have problems with Hispanics, given that the DREAM Act, which a lot of Hispanics supported its passage, went down in defeat in the Senate, largely due to Republican objections? There's a group of Republican lawmakers, state lawmakers right now, who are pushing for an end to birthright citizenship, so that these so-called anchor babies.
Yeah, I don't think they represent a majority of the thinking of...
But is this conference and efforts like these and the sort of admission that, hey, the Republican Party needs to do better, not just at putting out their message, but adjusting their policies that don't maybe frustrate Hispanics?
It's an admission that Hispanics matter. They're going to be increasingly important in elections. And that, I think, is very refreshing. Look, we're not a monolithic. The Republican Party is certainly not monolithic. Conservatives, we've got all these hyphens around conservative thought these days. We're not. There's nothing monolithic about conservative thinking at all. And the Hispanic community is definitely not monolithic. I mean, it is the most diverse, vibrant group of people that have real disagreements. They're not all are conservative, certainly not all are liberal. So the idea of a continuous engagement with this diverse community is what this is about, and I think it's a great idea. So, you know, 14th Amendment, I don't know why all of a sudden we would reinterpret the 14th Amendment. I don't think a majority of Republicans think that's a very cool idea.
So you disagree with that, the effort?
Yeah, I'm going to be disagreeing with a lot of the things that come up with this stuff, because I think, look, I just got a different view. But I'm respectful of other people's opinion, and it doesn't bother me that my views may not be the end views that the press covers or the whatever. It doesn't bother me a bit, but it doesn't mean I'm going to change my mind either.
Governor Bush, on the subject of education, it's been stressed here as well. Education Week last week came out with the right state rankings.
Yeah.
And Florida moved up to number 5. Congratulations. I know you've really focused a lot on education in the entire, but at the same time, it ranked 31st in school finance. The Senate President just recently said that the state's facing a $3.6 billion shortfall, and that a lot of that's going to fall on education. Is it time for a tax increase here? Is it what is the solution? What is the solution?
It's not time for a tax increase. That won't be happening with what I know about the new governor and the legislature. I think education reform, if you stick with it over a sustained period of time, you can move the needle. What's interesting is that our reforms have had the most dramatic effect with the lowest performing students. So if Hispanic kids, for example, in 1998, and the NAEP scores were languishing at the bottom, today they are better than or equal to 31 states. Florida Hispanic kids. Florida low-income Hispanic kids in the fourth grade reading do better than the average in California. This has happened over a decade of time, so it's just systemic change, a focus on reform. Money helps if you have a reform system, and so I'd be cautious not to gut the education budget, but you got to have reform first, and Florida is an example of that. And I'm very proud of the fact that our graduation rate has gone up every year. Hispanics have led the way. And the idea that somehow Juanito can't learn, or, you know, so therefore we can't have a system that's for every child is just, talk about stupid. I mean, that is so dangerous when Florida soon will be a majority-minority. It already is a majority-minority student population, and to suggest that somehow, you know, this bigotry of low expectations for one group at the expense of the other is acceptable in America today needs to be rejected out of hand all across the country.
Governor, today the RNC is electing a new chairman. I wanted to ask you to weigh in on how important are the national parties? Are they less important than they used to be? I mean, here you are doing, you know, what is an important effort, but not through the RNC, through outside group, and we've seen a lot of that in the last couple election cycles.
Great question. I think parties are less relevant than they were when they basically, you know, you'd go to the fifth ballot to elect your party's nominee, you know, 1950, 1960. It's not as important as it is today in the world where communication's radically different, where how you reach out to people's different. We've kind of moved politically to coalitions around people and ideas, and they ebb and flow. They're not as rigid. Our loyalties aren't necessarily to a brand like with an R or a D as much as causes and beliefs. And so that's a more 21st century way of dealing with politics. Parties will always have a role, but I think it's not as strong as it was 25 years ago. What do you think?
I agree 100%. Actually, I think the largest party in America are those that don't belong to any party. And people have to understand that at the end of the day. And they move around and look at what happened in the last election cycle, where a large, vast majority of Americans decided that they wanted a change, and they had the congressional races to express that desire for change, and that's why we have Congress today has a majority of Republican members. But just 2 years before that, a Democratic president was elected. So again, I believe that at the end of the day, we just have to stick to our principles and truly lead. I had the chance to participate a couple months ago with the new Republican governors in San Diego's RGA meeting. And I think what I shared with my colleagues was that people are expecting us to lead. These are very tough times. But the worst thing you can do is to actually sit back and wait for things to happen. If you're in a position of leadership like the governor was, for example, on education, he led. And then you see the results. Some of them, the benefits will be reaped after he's gone from the governorship. But still, I mean, he led and people knew where he was going. And that's exactly what we all have to do, regardless of party affiliations.
One quick follow-up, Governor. Are you following the RNC election? Do you know who the candidates are?
I know their names. I'm not really, I'm really busy.
Governor Bush, can I ask you to, excuse me, I apologize for coming in late.
No, that's fine.
Can I ask you to reiterate the four points you made in your remarks this morning
okay.
about what Republican the party must do to reach out to
sure.
Hispanic voters.
I've gotten an email from my mother not to use the word stupid, so I won't use that in the repeat performance. But tone matters. That if you want to draw people towards your cause, you have to have your arms ought to be open rather than shut. And so, and that's a physical version of, you know, how you speak and tone. So tone matters. I think the face of the Republican Party needs to reflect what our aspirations are. And so great leaders like the governor of Puerto Rico need to be front and center, or Susana Martinez or Brian Sandoval. The emerging leadership needs to be, we need to recruit young, vibrant, talented Hispanics to lead the charge. And so you can't be the old white guy party. You have to be reflective of your winning coalition. Ideas matter, and those ideas have to be broad and reflective of not just whatever the issue of the day is that's defined by, you know, those in Washington that want to kind of have the food fight be about a particular thing, then move on to the next food fight. There are big, broad issues that we need to express and advocate for to be successful with Hispanics. And I'm missing the fourth one, Michael. But I'm 57, so I'm looking for new leaders. So I don't remember what the fourth one is. What's the fourth one?
Well, you said ideas, recruit, diversity, the face of the party, and tone. That seems to be
okay. That sounded like three, but maybe it was four.
On that issue of tone, is that somehow to be interpreted, given the aftermath of the Arizona shootings, given the debate, the national
yeah.
debate over political rhetoric, is that somehow to be interpreted as a reference to that?
No, it isn't, but here's my view on that. I am concerned about, have been concerned about the lack of civility in life today, not just politics, but in general. It troubles me. Maybe I'm overstating this, but when you have a situation, I'll give you two examples. Roger Clemens went to testify in Congress for steroid use about 3 years ago, and there was a committee hearing, and they were kind of arguing back and forth, and it turns out the Democrats were against Clemens, the Republicans were for him. What the heck? What happened where someone's opinion about whether he had taken steroids or not has to be a partisan issue? That's kind of where we are in our discourse in Washington. And then after the incredible tragedy in Tucson, immediately, I mean, within 24 hours, there were people on the left and right back to the same fight, kind of trying to assess blame rather than to mourn for the loss of people. I mean, Americans, irrespective of their philosophy, don't want that. They want civil, they want respect for those that are grieving. They want decency, they want civility. And so I'm mark me down as one of those guys that's not a screamer. I have deeply held views, and I love trying to express my views and drawing people towards my views, and I'm pretty feisty about it, but you don't have to personalize your disagreements with people. You don't have to tear down the other person. Your ideas should have enough merit to be able to win the day. And so I hope that the Tucson experience, the reaction to the reaction, helps us get to a better place politically, because we've got big problems. I mean, we've got great challenges, we have huge opportunities, and if we continue on this fight that's really at a low level, we're not going to break through to a place where we need to get to make progress. So now, Puerto Rico, on the other hand, it's the most civil place in the world for politics.
Well, actually, as you all know, we Hispanics take things very seriously, especially politics and
especially
religion.
Especially Puerto Rico.
Yeah, exactly. Having said that, however, the tone of our public discourse matters. And actually, I'm convinced, before and after what happened in Arizona, that when the tone actually gets out of hand, you lose your audience. And it makes no sense, really.
Yeah.
And we all have a responsibility to our constituents, precisely to discuss our differences in a civil way.
¿Cómo va la cuestión de la estadidad?
¿Cómo va? Mira, ese es un tema que no va a terminar hasta el día que tengamos un estatus que sea final y firme. Mientras tú eres un territorio, bajo la Constitución de los Estados Unidos, eso no es final y firme. O sea que todavía tienes opción de tomar los dos cursos, los dos caminos que son finales, o la estadidad o la independencia. La inmensísima mayoría de los puertorriqueños nos sentimos sumamente orgullosos y queremos todos los beneficios y responsabilidades de nuestra ciudadanía americana. Sabes que somos naturalmente naturally born citizens, pero a la misma vez entendemos que esto tiene que ser un proceso donde el Congreso, que tiene la soberanía sobre los territorios, sea parte del proceso, y ahí es que pues se ha trancado en años anteriores, pero tengo fe de que vamos a lograr echar este tema adelante en los años por venir.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.